Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, where we expound God's Word and keep an eye on heaven. God bless you. You can find all you need on our website at eternity.church. Now, in this episode, we're going to learn more from the wonderful Word of God. Hi, this is John Edmiston with Insights for Eternity, and this is episode 3 of our series on spiritual warfare. So far in the series, we've found out about the three heavens, first heaven, second heaven, and third heaven. We find out we're battling against powers and principalities. We're battling against materialism and globalism. We're battling against Babylon and the King of Tyre. And we've found out where all the enemies are and who Satan is and who the Antichrist is. And so now that we know the area, now we have the sort of diagram of the battle, we're going to learn how to fight and how to put on the armor of God. Before we do that, let us pray. Father in heaven, you've given us a great and mighty task to share the gospel around the world, to stand up as beings of light, as sons and daughters of the living God, to be light in the darkness that this planet is at this moment in time. And we are to roll back the darkness and to use the weapons you've given us in the armor of God. So, Lord, shine your light upon your word today, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Our passage is going to be Ephesians chapter 6. And we're going to learn about the armor of God and how to fight against the great enemies, such as the Antichrist, the false prophet, lies, heresy, deception, temptation, and all the rest. And we're going to learn how to do combat on the field of the tribulation and the field of deceiving demons and the field of all the things that are coming against us, so that from the right hand and the left, we have demonic enemies. But we will overcome them because we're born again and we're sons and daughters of the living God. And we shall overcome because the Lord Jesus Christ will give us the victory. Let's read Ephesians 6 and verse 10 right through to about verse 20 or 21. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you will be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints, and pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So this is the whole thing where Paul's talking about the battle. And for Paul, the battle was to speak boldly as he ought to speak. Part of our battle is to speak the truth when there's enormous pressure on us to tell lies. The pressure might be on you to be honest when there's enormous pressure on you to be dishonest. The pressure on you to be crooked when God tells you to be righteous. You see, the devil's always trying to make you embrace the lie, to live the lie, to speak the lie, to always go along with the powers and principalities that make you afraid. I have lived under a person, a certain person, I won't say where and when, but this person was a dictator, and everyone in this particular city, in this particular place, was scared. And people would tell lies. People would flatter this person. People would say, oh, this person's good, when they knew he was bad. And people were very, very scared. And the pressure and fear that this person put into people's minds made them speak things that were untrue. And we must not speak things that are untrue. When the time comes and they ask, is Caesar Lord? You need to say, no, Caesar is not Lord, Jesus is Lord. And when they come to you and want you to praise the Antichrist and bow down to the image of the beast, you will say, no, I do not bow down to the image of the beast, I bow down to the Lord Jesus Christ. And when they want you to take the chip, when they want you to take the mark of the beast, you will say, no, I will not take the mark of the beast. I will not fall for this. It is a wicked and evil thing. I am in bondage, not to the devil, but to the Lord Jesus Christ, whose bondservant I am. So you need to have the armor of God ready. You need to be practiced. Now, armor in the Bible times, it wasn't just what we call a suit of armor, which is a sort of metal or chain mail. Armor was all the weapons you had. It included your spears, your arrows, your sword, your shield, all the various things that you had when you went to battle. It was like we use in the military, armory. In the armory, you don't find pieces of armor. You find rocket launchers and tank ammunition and all that kind of stuff. That's all there in the armory. So armor wasn't just defensive, it was also offensive. And the full armor of God includes both defensive weapons and offensive weapons. Let's go to Ephesians verse 12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. So when you're fighting the devil, you're not using a 45 revolver or an AK-47. That's not the spiritual armor we're talking about. Now, if you want to own a gun, that's up to you. That's up to you and your personal safety wherever you are. I'm not condemning firearms of any sort, but I choose not to have them because as a missionary, it doesn't look very good. And most governments won't let you cart a gun into their country or something like that. So it's up to you with your decision of firearms, but you're not fighting against flesh and blood. Trying to kill Hitler was a bad idea and it didn't work. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We fight against powers and principalities in the heavenly realms, and we fight with moral weapons and prayer weapons. We fight with honesty. We fight with truth. And you're doing a spiritual battle. You're in a spiritual war when you're an honest person in a dishonest world. If you're working for your government and in the section you're in, people are taking bribes left, right, and center, and you are honest and you don't make the same money as the people who are taking bribes, you're engaging in spiritual warfare. You're demonstrating Christ to the people around you. You're being a good witness, and that's a witness against the powers and principalities that are governing that department. When you put on the breastplate of righteousness, that means you live a righteous life. Now, when we talk about the armor of God, there's some people who say, you just put it on mystically, you just put it on with prayer. Now, I don't think that's what Paul's talking about here. I think he means you have to actually live it out. Your feet, that is your lifestyle, has to be shod with the gospel of peace. So you're going to go and you're going to live a peaceful lifestyle. You're going to love your neighbor. You're going to be a peacemaker. For blessed are the peacemakers, for they will inherit the earth. You're going to walk in the wisdom of God, not the wisdom of darkness, not the wisdom that comes from jealousy and selfish ambition, but the wisdom that in James that is pure and reasonable and good and kind and all the rest. You're going to walk in the spirit of Christ. You see, the essential part of spiritual warfare is walking in the spirit of Christ and not in the spirit of the devil or the spirit of the world or the spirit of self. You have to walk as Jesus would walk. And that's your lifestyle. You're going to walk in the spirit and overcome the works of the flesh and overcome the devil. So let's go through the armor of God again. Therefore, take up the full armor of God, passive and aggressive, that you may be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything to stand firm. Evil's going to come, evil's going to attack you, but you must be able to resist the devil when he tries to tempt you or tries to destroy you. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth and having put on the breastplate of righteousness. So you want the belt of truth. Truth is the first thing that goes. When evil comes in, the first thing that evil does is try to rob you of the truth. It might be through fake news. It might be through lying. It might be by forcing you to tell lies against your faith or against your pastor or against someone else. Like, truth goes out the window. As someone once said, truth is the first casualty of war. So when you stay in the truth, when you speak Bible truth, when you memorize the Bible, just like Jesus did, and speak it back at the devil, just like Jesus did in the wilderness, you are making your stand on truth. Do not let the devil force you to become a liar, because all liars end up in the lake of fire. That's people who keep practicing lies day in and day out. So you're to be wrapped around with truth. Now, the military belt was a utility belt, like you see on Batman, or you see on these superheroes, or on military people around the world who have a belt that, or their guns are hanging off, and their torch and their taser and everything is hanging off. So your truth binds everything together and holds all your other weapons in place. So you need truth first and foremost. And as you become a person of truth, you will become spiritually victorious. And it says, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having an honest heart and an honest life is a great spiritual weapon. When people see you arrive and you're honest, you have an honest heart, you have honest lips, you're righteous in the way you go about things, you're honest, you do a good day's work better than anyone else, you're straight in all your dealings, that's a spiritual weapon against the darkness that wants to bend you and make you crooked. The devil wants to twist you. He wants to bend you. He wants to make you just as corrupt as the rest of the world. And so when you put on the breastplate of righteousness, it protects you from all the attempts of the devil to make you into a crooked person. Verse 15, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, you take your stand not on this world, but on the gospel, on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and his soon coming return. You need to take your stand on the gospel of peace, that God wants to reconcile the world to himself. So you go forth into this world, not in your own strength, not in your own wisdom, but you walk inside of the gospel, just like the disciples did. They went around with Jesus. They proclaimed the gospel. They healed the sick. They raised the dead. They proclaimed the kingdom of God. And that's what you're to do as well. You're to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Now, the feet were a terrible weapon in ancient wars. They would have a boot, and the boot would have all these nails and things on the bottom. And often in an ancient war, the enemy would be knocked to the ground, and then with these terrible boots, the soldiers would stomp on the person on the ground until they were dead. It's a terrible thing, and their boots would be covered in blood, which we see in Isaiah chapter 9. So the boot was often the ultimate weapon, where the people were stomped on by these very cruel boots that people wore. Now, we don't wear cruel boots. We're not people of cruelty in Christianity, but we have our feet shod with the gospel of peace instead of with nails. And we encourage people and we bless them. And so we go to war against the devil. Yes, we stomp the devil under our feet. We find that in Romans 12 and 16, where soon God puts the devil under our feet. And so we are victorious over the devil, and the devil is put under our feet by God. And we have the victory through the blood of the Lamb and a witness in our testimony. Verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, with which you'll be able to extinguish all the flaming missiles of the evil one. We need to have faith. Faith and fear are opposites. Fear is undirected imagination. Your imagination goes wild, and it seizes on this, and it seizes on that, and it creates all these stories in your head, and you become afraid, and the fear grips your heart. But faith is directed imagination. Instead of undirected imagination, looking at all the disasters that could happen, you direct your imagination, you direct your mind onto God. And the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So when you direct your mind onto God, when you have faith, when you set your mind on things above, when you set your mind on the Spirit, you have life and peace. Your mind isn't zooming all over the place, making up panic stories in your head. You've got to stop panicking and start believing. So the shield of faith is when you focus your mind on God, and you focus your mind on the promises of God in your Bible, which it's a really good idea to memorize Scripture. So when you're feeling threatened, you can memorize Psalm 91 and speak it out, that no plague will come near your tent. And so you can say that, and you can be strong in the Spirit because you've got the Word of God there in your heart. We'll talk about the Word of God in a minute. But the strength of your faith is like a shield. So when fear and doubt and all the accusations of the enemy fly against you, you can bring up that shield of faith and say, I am in the blood of the Lamb. Those accusations don't count. They don't matter. I'm forgiven. I'm redeemed. So you have power. You have power to deflect all the fiery accusations of the enemy, all those crazy thoughts that come into your head. You direct your faith onto scriptures and onto Christ and onto the things of God and onto the things above. And gradually you'll become stronger and stronger. You'll be able to put out all the disappointing thoughts, all the angry thoughts, all the sad self-pitying thoughts that the devil is firing at you day and night. All the things, it doesn't work, it's not good enough, I'm not good enough. All those kind of thoughts that the devil puts in your head, you raise up that shield of faith. Faith is confidence in God. Faith is the substance of things not seen. It's knowing that the invisible is more powerful than the visible. It's being able to lay hold of the promise of God that arises in your spirit from God's spirit and realize that what your spirit is telling you is true, and to believe in the things of God, to believe there's a God who made the heavens and the earth and who's a rewarder of those who seek him. So you need to develop your faith. You need to ask God for faith, more faith, more faith, more faith, so you can use that shield of faith to put out all the fiery darts of the evil one as they're fired at you. From social media, from your friends, from your relatives, even from your own past experiences that cripple you. Okay, and then it says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So the helmet of salvation is the protection of your mind. It's a metal helmet that goes around and protects from sword blows. You see, back then, people would often strike down vertically with a sword. It's very hard to see a vertical blow with a sword. It comes out of nowhere. And if you didn't have a solid helmet on, your head would be split in two. And so the devil's always trying to come at your mind with a sudden blow, with a sudden disappointment, with a sudden financial thing that sets you into panic. And you need to put on the helmet of salvation. Your mind needs to get saved, along with your checkbook, along with your lifestyle. But your mind needs to be renewed. And you need to allow God to renew your mind and get rid of your stinking thinking. God has not destined you to be a person full of fear, panic, and doubt. God wants to renew your mind so you don't think sinful thoughts, you think godly thoughts. Now, the mind of Adam was good, but the mind of Adam was ruined by the fall, and we got a stinking thinking mind instead, a mind that rebels against God, as it says in Ephesians 2 and some other places. So our minds as unbelievers were hostile to God and were unable to be focused on God because they were focused on the flesh. It says the mindset on the flesh cannot please God, Romans chapter 8, verse 8. So it's impossible to please God if your mind is in the wrong place. Instead, your mind needs to be set on the Spirit, and the mindset on the Spirit is life and peace. So what happens is, after you're born again, God starts renewing your mind, and the Holy Spirit comes inside you and gives you the mind of Christ, Ephesians 2:16. So God's renewing your mind and giving you the helmet of salvation, and you need to accept God's renewing your mind. You cannot think like the world any longer. Of course, you can do science and maths and the things you need to do for engineering or to fix a car. You still have to use your mind. You just don't think religious thoughts all day long. But you don't think the way the world thinks. You don't think in terms of selfish ambition and greed. You don't think of panic. You don't think of hoarding. You don't think of all the things that evil people think of, full of lustful thoughts and scheming to get this and that. No, your mind is renewed to think the way God wants you to think, with humility and meekness and kindness, and not with arrogance or ego at all. So you get the ego out of your mind and you renew your mind. You don't set it on the flesh anymore. You set it on the Spirit, and when it's set on the Spirit, then you will have life and peace, and the helmet of salvation will protect you from the enemy. And then it says, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So I'm speaking to you from the word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit, which is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so the sword of the Spirit comes out of the mouth of Christ. So it's the words of Christ that demolished the devil, just as it did in the temptation in the wilderness. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, you speak the word of God back to the devil and say, no, devil, this is what the word says. It is written that you shall only worship the Lord your God. There will be no other gods before you. So there are other things in the Bible that are written that you can use as sword, that you can use it as a weapon against the devil and rebuke the devil with the scriptures. Don't make up your own things. These affirmations that you get from the New Age people, they don't work. You need to use the scripture. You need to use the Bible. You need to use the promises that are in the Bible that are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. Don't use lies from witch doctors and spells from people doing juju. Don't go into the things of the occult and things of that. That's not the place you need to go. The only true sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. So memorize the Bible. Use the Bible. Memorize Psalm 23, Psalm 91, chunks of the New Testament. Know your scriptures in and out, and you'll be able to use that to cast the devil down. And then it goes on, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. Now, if you don't speak in tongues, you should. I'm a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled believer, and I spoke in tongues in 1986, and I don't regret it. Tongues gives you new strength in the inner man that you haven't had before. And you need to learn to pray in the Spirit. Now, praying in the Spirit means you're praying out of the Word of God with truth and power. It's not just babbling. It means that God has taken hold of your spirit and is taking a hold of your tongue. You're not praying out your own thoughts or your own ideas or your own anxieties. You've got to pray in the Spirit and not in the flesh. A lot of people pray out their own anxieties, and their prayer is just worrying before God. Worrying before God doesn't get anywhere. You need to pray as the Holy Spirit leads you to pray. It says in Romans 8:26, the Holy Spirit helps us to pray with groanings too deep for words. So you need to pray out of the Holy Ghost within you with groanings too deep for words, because the Holy Spirit will give you utterance of the things that you need to say and you need to do. So you need to pray in all times at the Spirit, no matter what's happening, in the good times and in the bad times, in the up times and in the down times. You pray in the Spirit, you praise, you worship, and you need to spend substantial time in prayer, not just 5 minutes a day. You need to be praying when you're in the car or you're in the bus or you're walking out in the field. Lift your voice up to God and pray. And it's especially good, I think, to pray with a few friends, to get together and with a few friends in the church or somewhere else and pray in the Spirit. And you can pray a lot longer and a lot better if you're praying in a group. So don't forget to pray in a group, for where two or three are gathered, there is Christ in the midst of them. Okay. It says, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So just don't pray for yourself. Be alert and pray for all the saints. Pray for your pastor, your elders, your deacons, your friends, your family. You need to pray for the rest of the body of Christ. And that's part of the battle. We're not just fighting for ourselves. We're fighting for our brothers and sisters. And we're fighting for the lost. Pray for the lost to be saved. Claim them. Claim your uncle, your auntie, your mother, your father, your kids. Claim them for the kingdom of God. Pray for the lost, that all men might be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. So pray for other people. Pray for your kings and those in authority, that they might be saved and that they might bring about peaceful government in your country. So pray at all times for all the saints. And then he goes on and asks them to pray for himself. So why would Paul ask them to pray for him? Because he's an apostle. He's carrying the gospel around the world. He's going to Jerusalem, where he knew it was going to be very bad. He knew he was heading into a very hazardous time because the Jewish people hated him because he was taking the gospel to the Gentiles. And so he knew he was at tremendous risk, and he asked them, pray for me. And so pray for those people that go out as evangelists, as missionaries, who go out from the church into hazardous circumstances. Then they need every prayer that you can give them. So pray for all the saints, not just for yourself or for your family, but for other people in church. They might need an operation. They might be poor. They might be struggling. You can be practical and give them some food as well, but also pray for them that they'll find a way to make an income. They'll find a way to get out of their poverty and their difficult situations. One of the most important things we can do in spiritual warfare is to pray for one another so that we're covered by multiple people's prayers. And I think it's very important that you do that. Just don't be a selfish prayer. Don't be selfish and just pray for yourself and your kids and things like that. Pray for those around you. So let's wrap this up. You have an armor from God. You have a spiritual armor. It's not a physical armor. And this armor of God consists of the virtues, righteousness, truth, holiness, salvation, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the shoes shod with the gospel of peace. The more virtue you put on your life, the more you put on Christ and you put off the things of this world, the more armor you have around you. So put on Christ, put on the armor of God, get that shield of faith up and strong, learn how to use the sword of the Spirit, and pray for other people at all times. Remember, you're in a spiritual battle. It's not a level playing field. The world wants to destroy you. The devil wants to destroy you. Lots of demons want to destroy you and come and steal and kill and destroy. And so you have to fight. It's not easy. You're not just being led by Jesus like a lamb over his shoulder. You have to fight as well. And God will defend you. It says, take up the full armor of God. You are expected to be a warrior. Now, one of the things we learn in the Bible is the Holy Spirit knows how to fight. When the Holy Spirit came upon Samson, he got the jawbone of an axe and had killed 1,000 Philistines. The Holy Spirit knows how to fight. When you've got the Holy Spirit upon you, the Holy Spirit will show you the spiritual warfare technique you need for your situation in your time. You cry out to God and say, I need wisdom from the Holy Ghost for this spiritual battle. Cry out to God that he's going to give you the wisdom in how to fight the enemy, how to drive him out of your life, how to break every curse against you, how to come against wicked words spoken against you, against the evil eye and things like that. God will give you the wisdom because the Holy Spirit knows how to fight, and Jesus is your defender, and he's going to be King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's going to cast down the kings of this age. He's going to cast down the powers and principalities, but you're one of the soldiers. You're one of the sons and daughters of the living God, and you're not just to sit around and be passive. You're not to sit around and be a victim. You're to be a warrior. You're to stand up, and you're going to be strong in the might of the Lord. You don't have any strength of your own, but Christ is in you. He's hope of glory. Greater is he who's in you than he who is in the world. And so greater is he who's in you than he is in the world. Christ is in you. He's given you the armor. Be a strong and mighty Christian. This is John Edmiston signing off with Insights for Eternity. May God bless you, and we'll see you again next week. Thank you, and bye for now.
Hi, that was an episode of Insights for Eternity, and I'm Pastor John Edmiston from Eternity Christian Fellowship. You can find lots of resources to help you in your Christian Bible study at our website, eternity.church. Our website again, eternity.church. Thank you, and be blessed in the Lord this week.